Hello and welcome to the Chicago Endurance Sports Podcast. I'm Coach Michael, lead coach of the South Loop. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about race day strategies, specifically for the marathon. Showing up to the start line with some strategies, or at least being aware of some strategies, will give you a bit of an edge and hopefully contribute to you having your best possible race. There's a variety of ways to approach a race. So what I've done for this podcast is broken things down into 10 on-course strategies and 10 mental strategies. And hopefully amongst them, there'll be some good food for thought to help you out on your race. Let's start with on-course strategies. For number one, I have start slow. The number one mistake people make in a marathon is going out too fast. The way things are set up, it's sort of counter to starting out slow and easy. Right now, we're going through a taper. We're cutting our mileage. We're going to show up to the start line rested and full of energy. Chances are, when you get into your corral, you'll be standing around for a significant amount of time, just full of anticipation. Then, when the race does start and your corral starts, this surge of energy is going to come from the thousands of runners around you that are all sharing your anticipation. And it's so easy to get swept up in that excitement. What you need to do is hold yourself back. You really need to be conscious to go out slow and easy. So at the beginning of the race, it's going to be pretty congested. Use that congestion to hold you back. Don't waste energy weaving and dodging and trying to get around other runners. Instead, stay behind them, allow them to go out, go uncomfortably slow. We tell people to go uncomfortably slow because you're going to feel so rested. It's going to seem really easy at the beginning of the race. You really want to hold things back and to go nice and easy on that first mile. Start slow. You have a long ways ahead of you. The last thing you want to do is burn yourself out. For run walkers, you want to stick at the intervals you've trained at. But once again, you want to go out nice and easy. So number two on my on-course strategies is to run your race. Don't overcomplicate things. You know what works. You know what doesn't work. Do the things that you figured out work for you over the past 18 weeks, and that's how you want to approach your race. Relax and know that you're prepared. A common mistake you can make is when you're in the start corral, there's going to be thousands of people around you, and it's easy to look around and notice another runner and think, well, they're about the same build as me. They're about the same age as me. We probably run the same pace. I'm going to follow them. But you don't know anything about them. You don't know what their training is. You don't know what their pace is. You don't know what their plan is. You don't know what their experience is. Trust what you've been doing. Don't second guess yourself and remind yourself that you are ready and you are prepared. So my third course strategy is to run tangents. The shortest distance between two points is a straight line. For the Chicago Marathon, they've actually painted a blue line along the course. And this is the actual measurement of 26.2 miles. The marathon majors like New York, Chicago, Boston take things very seriously. Things are very precise because world records are at stake. So the elites are going to run basically on this blue line to make sure they're running 26.2 miles and nothing more. And you should take a similar philosophy. Every extra step you take, every wide turn you take, every time you weave in and out of other runners, you're adding extra steps. And over the course of 26 miles, that can add up significantly. If you start taking big wide turns or weaving in and out a lot of people, but at the end of your race, it's not unreasonable to think you've added an extra half mile onto your marathon race. And we all know you're being credited and being measured on 26.2, which is plenty enough. There's no reason to do extra. So try when you hit the corners to do it in a straight line, or avoid big wide turns and run the tangent. You could really shave off a lot of time, especially for those of you who have specific time goals, by cutting the corners, running the tangents, and avoiding extra steps. So number four on my on-course strategy recommendations is don't rely on the GPS, use mile markers. And I know you're thinking, wow, I've got this fancy Garmin. I've been using it all season long. It tells me what my miles is. It tells me what my pace is. But the reality is, in a race like Chicago or in any other metropolitan area, your GPS is going to get lost among the tall buildings and the skyscrapers. And it's going to be inaccurate at some point. Some points it may be fine. Sometimes it might lose it. It's much better to use the mile markers. Once again, I'll reiterate that a race like Chicago is a marathon major. There'll be a mile marker at every mile. They're going to be very precise because of the fact that it's a major. So you can definitely count on the markers being accurate. So what you want to use instead of the GPS or in addition to the GPS is splits. And a split is the time that passes from one mile marker to the next mile marker. So for instance, if you're running a 10-minute mile, there should be 10 minutes between each marker. If it's a little bit longer, you're going too slow. If it's shorter, you're going too fast. So if you keep track of your pace using splits, you'll be in a lot better shape. It may seem overwhelming doing math in your head, but thankfully there's a solution for that that makes it a lot simpler. You can pick yourself up a pace band. So when you go to the Marathon Expo, there'll be a booth, a pacer booth, a Nike pacer booth. And at that pacer booth, they'll have these pace bands, and often they have temporary tattoos as well. So you can pick up a pace band and or a pace tattoo. They're free at the Nike pacer booth. And what you'll do is you'll look for your finish time. They offer a whole variety of finish times. So just for sake of example, say you want to finish the marathon in 4 hours. You'll get yourself a pace band that has a 4-hour finish time on it. On that pace band, it's going to list what time you should be at every mile marker. So I believe the pace for our marathon, and don't quote me on this, is about a 9-minute, 8-second mile. So on the pace band, it'll say at mile one, you want to be 9:08. The mile two, it would be 18:16, and it'll have all 26 miles all the way through. So you could follow that really easily to know where you are on pace. Every time you hit a mile, you could see what the next mile is on your pace band. That's going to be a lot more reliable than the GPS. You can still use your GPS watch. I just would not count on it if you're doing a race in a big city where you're running amongst the buildings. So my number 5 on-course strategy is consider using a pace team. So I alluded to this in my number 4. The Chicago Marathon has a pace team that's carefully selected. They're pre-screened, so they'll be accurate. These are not your CES pacers. I know a lot of you are going to run with your CES pacers. That's great if you'd like. But if you want to run with a Nike Pace Team member, it's free. And if you follow them, they will be accurate. If you follow them, you will get the time that they're advertising. So there's all sorts of paces they offer. If you look at the website, chicagomarathon.com, look up pacers, you'll see all the different finish times they're offering. And it'll also say what pace that finish time means. They'll be running even splits, which means every split they run will be the same. At the expo, when you visit the Nike Pace booth to pick up your pace band, you'll also have the opportunity to talk to the pacers, kind of get a feeling for their philosophy, how they run, how they work, so you're prepared where to meet them on the course. There's different pacers in different corrals, but it's a great way to get the finish time that you want. Another great way to use the pace team is to keep yourself from going out too fast. Let's go back to our 4-hour example. If you don't want to go out too fast, if you run behind the 4-hour pacer, you know you're not going too fast because they're going to be running at an accurate pace. For a lot of people, it may be actually more advantageous to start out behind a slower pacer. So maybe start at the 4:15, 4:30 pacer. It'll really keep you at bay at the beginning. And then once you get your legs and once the crowd clears out, you can pick up the pace a little bit. But consider using a pacer. They're free and you're not married to them. Just because you start with one doesn't mean you need to finish with one. So that brings us to number 6. My number 6 on-course strategy is to use aid stations wisely. The Chicago Marathon has 20 total aid stations. So 26 miles, 20 aid stations. That's plenty of opportunity to get hydration. All the aid stations are going to be laid out the same way. I'm really not sure whether it's Gatorade first or water first, but once you hit that first aid station, you'll figure it out. They're all going to be identical. They'll have tables on both sides of the street, and they're going to be very, very long. So it's really hard to miss them. But you want to use the aid stations wisely. So during the race, as you're beginning to approach an aid station, start making plans before you get there. Do you need to stop at the aid station? If you don't need an aid station, stay in the middle of the road because it's going to get congested as people pull over to grab their aid. If you're going to stop, if you need to pick up hydration at the aid station, and you probably should on a regular basis, is think about, what am I going to do when I get to the aid station? Do I need water? Do I need Gatorade? Do I need to refill my handheld? Think about that in advance. Also, as you approach an aid station, it's good to think about, is this time for nutrition? So maybe you want to take your gel or your block or whatever nutrition you have before you get to the aid station. So by the time you get there, you could grab some water and wash that nutrition down and use that aid station to get some hydration, but also wash down your nutrition. Once you get to the aid station, keep moving through it. Don't stop at the first table. Everyone's going to rush to that first corner and grab some hydration. The aid stations are very long. Run through it. Let their people who are dashing for the first tables take that congestion. Once you're into the aid station, find yourself a volunteer. They'll be calling out whether it's water or Gatorade. Don't stop. Keep moving. Pinch the cup and take in your hydration. If you need to walk, that's fine. When you're at the aid station, it's important that you do what you need to do to get the hydration in you instead of on you. Chances are the aid stations are going to be a bit congested anyway, so you're going to have to slow your pace a little bit. That's fine. So my number 7 on-course strategy is to try to run a negative split. And running a negative split is where you run the second half of the race slightly faster than the first half. By aiming to do a negative split, it'll help prevent you from going out too fast and avoid burning out early in the race. Negative splitting is a proven method for running a marathon successfully and getting a PR, so it's something certainly worth striving for. It does take some trust and self-control. A lot of people think, well, when my legs are fresh early on in the race, I'm going to bust it out and I'm going to bank a bunch of time. So later on when I'm tired and wearing down, I've already banked all this time and I can use that as my buffer. But that's usually not the way it works, because once you start to slow down, once you've burned out, you get slower a lot faster. You slow down a little bit, you slow down a little bit more, you slow down a little bit more, and your overall time is going to suffer. Use that first 9 miles or half of the race to get into your groove. Shake out your nerves, get into your routine of your hydration and your nutrition. Let the crowd disperse around you and just kind of get into the feel of it. During that first half of the race, it's a good time to evaluate how your race is going. We all know from our training that some days our runs, we feel really good. Some days, just every step is a challenge. And by mile 9 or halfway point, you kind of probably have a pretty good idea of what sort of day you're dealing with. And you can make some judgments based on that. If you're going out on a good, steady, easy pace, then if you're having one of those rough days, you can stick to that pace. You're going to finish probably feeling pretty good with a pretty significantly decent finish time. However, if you're hitting 9, 10, 13 miles and you're feeling really good at a comfortable pace, it's time to maybe make a judgment call and amp up your pace just slightly. After 3, 4, 5 miles at that little slightly faster pace, if you're feeling good, you could check in with yourself again and go, do I have more? Can I push a little bit more? Or do I want to stick where I am now? What you want to do is avoid going backwards. You don't want to bring yourself to a pace that you can't sustain and you gradually go slower and slower. As I said before, it's easier to maintain a slow, steady pace than to gradually have to reduce your mileage just because you've burnt yourself out. Aim for a negative split is number 7. So for number 8, as far as on-course strategies, I have stay present. And this refers to being mentally present. Over 26 miles, it's a long time to be in your head. And a lot of times we like to zone out. We put on some music and we focus on our music, or we just sort of space out. That we can view as maybe being advantageous because it helps the miles pass. But also during that time, it's not uncommon that we'll forget to take our nutrition or our hydration, or we won't be paying attention to our pacing. So while it may feel good to zone out, you really need to stay present and be in the moment and pay attention to what you're doing. So you can do it every mile, you can do it every half mile, you can do it every 5, 10 minutes, whatever works for you. But at a regular point, check in on yourself, check your form, check your pace. We've been doing resets all season long. It may be a good time to do a reset, get yourself back into good posture, just to make sure you're on top of what you should be doing. If you've gone 10 miles and all of a sudden you realize you haven't taken nutrition or haven't taken hydration the way you need to or you've needed to in the past, you're going to start playing catch up and you don't want to be in that point. You want to be on top of things. So stay present. We always talk about running the mile that you're in. Don't think of 10, 15 miles down the line. Think about, are you doing the things right now you need to do to keep yourself moving at a good, constant, steady pace? Run walkers, be especially conscious of your walking. We always talk about walking with purpose, using your arms, walking strong. As we get tired, as we get deeper into race, it's easier to lose focus on that. When people around you are walking because they've burnt themselves out and they're tired, it's easy to fall into that lackadaisical pace instead of walking with purpose. I was in a race recently, and during my walk sections, I would repeat to myself, push, 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 just to keep myself conscious during the walk that I need to be doing it with purpose. Really, from a run-walk perspective, your walk can really have a significant impact on your finish time. And when you return to your run, make sure you're doing it at a reasonable pace. You're not trying to make up for your slow walk with a quick run. It's a balance. You've been practicing all season. So my final two on-course strategies are kind of focused on times where we're going through a little bit of struggle or things aren't maybe are not going as we expected. Number 9 is respond, don't react. And I'll explain what I mean by that. So when I say respond, don't react, let me give an example of that. If you're from Chicago, which I know a lot of you are, you're driving on an icy day, you hit an ice patch, reacting would be slamming on the brakes. And when you slam on the brakes, what happens? You skid, you go off the road, and it's not a very good end result. Responding would be the equivalent of pumping your brakes, steering into your skid, regaining control of the car, and continuing on your drive. So in your race and you hit a rough patch, something happens, maybe your calf is starting to hurt or you have a side stitch or someone cuts you off. First instinct is to react and be emotional about it. Resist that temptation. Instead, analyze the situation and what you need to get past it. So in the case of things like a side stitch or a cramp, you might have experienced those sorts of things. Think about what you've done to move past it. It might involve walking for a bit. It might involve replenishing some hydration. But calm your mind, think about it logically, and work past it. Let me assure you that every runner hits rough patches. The elites are dealing with it. People in the middle are dealing with it. People in the back are dealing with different issues. The difference is how they handle the issues. The people up front are accepting that there's going to be issues and they respond to them. They don't react to them. They work on the solution, what they need to do to keep the momentum going. So respond, don't react. And that brings us to number 10, our last on-course strategy, which is be flexible. Chances are you're going to come into race day with some sort of plan, but be open to make adjustments. Often we write a narrative in our head that things need to happen in a certain way for us to be successful. In reality, success comes from having some flexibility and some wiggle room. Obviously, you want to go out with your plan, and if it's a good day, everything will work out fine. But if not, be prepared to make adjustments. The more flexible you are, the more able you are to make adjustments on the fly, the greater the chances that you're going to have a successful race day. So here's some tips on making adjustments. First of all, if you find yourself in a spot where you're having trouble maintaining your pace, consider going a little faster before you go a little slower. Once again, another tip that may seem a little counterintuitive, but sometimes just shaking up your cadence a little bit, shaking up your speed a little bit is all you need to do to fall back into your groove. Also, if you start going slower, as I mentioned before, we have a tendency to kind of bargain with ourselves and we end up going a little bit slower and a little bit slower and a little bit slower. So if you find yourself struggling with your pace, try running slightly faster for a bit. If for some reason you burn out, you're having a rough day, if you're a continuous runner, consider switching to run walk. Run walk allows you to move really efficiently. Don't get trapped of, well, I'll walk for a bit, then I'll run for a bit, then I'll walk for a bit. if you find yourself randomly walking and randomly running, you're not going to move nearly as efficiently as you would if you keep on a regular interval. The interval could be yours of choice. You might want to say, I'm going to walk for 30 seconds, then I'll run for a mile, or I'll walk for a minute, and I'll run for 5 minutes. Whatever it is, make sure it's consistent. If you are consistent, you're going to move very efficiently, and there's a good chance you'll be able to pick up and get back into your continuous running pace. Don't be afraid to try run-walk if you're struggling. If you are a run-walker and you find yourself in a situation where you're not able to sustain your intervals that you've been training at, consider switching them up. So, for example, if you trained at 5-1 and later in a race, all of a sudden those 5 minutes becomes too much to run continuously, consider switching to 4-2 or 4-3 or 3-3 or even 1 minute on, 1 minute off. If you're doing a really short interval, like 1 minute on, 1 minute off, 30 seconds on, 30 seconds off, first of all, a segment of like a minute or 30 seconds is really achievable, and it keeps your mind so active, you're going to forget that you're tired and you're just going to keep moving. But make sure that you just don't fall into the random walker and the occasional runner, because your finish time is going to suffer. So my final on-course strategy is be flexible. So those are my on-course strategies. I'm going to go ahead and move on to my mental strategies. I could tell you that this podcast is becoming an endurance challenge of its own for me, since I'm doing this solo. Hopefully, I'll be able to complete a negative split by covering the next 10 strategies quicker than the first 10 strategies that I gave you. So obviously, the mental aspect of running an endurance race cannot be undersold. You've prepared 18 weeks, and physically, your body is more than ready to cover the distance. There's no question there. So I'm going to give you 10 mental strategies so you can show up to the starting line with a well-equipped mental tool belt. Number one is technically pre-race, but I think it's very useful from the mental aspect of racing, and that is to write things down. I cannot overemphasize the value of creating pre-race lists. You create a list of everything that you're going to need on race week, what you plan to wear, what your nutrition needs are, what gear you need. Just so you have a reference of all the things you need, so you have all week to gather the things you need. You can make a list of your items that you want for gear check, things you want maybe after the race. Another list you could think about creating is an expo list, what you want and need from the expo and what you want to accomplish at the expo. On your expo list, you could include things that you want, make sure you take care of, like your packet pickup, your race day resort credential pickup, certain booths you want to visit. Maybe there's some athletes there, they're going to be speaking or signing at certain times of the day. You want to be there for that. Write that stuff down so when you get to the expo, you could be really efficient. You have the experience you want and you take care of everything that needs to be taken care of. It also limits you on the amount of time that you'll spend at the expo. It's really easy to get lost in the expo and wander around, but so close to a race, you want to really limit the amount of time you're spending on your feet pre-race. Other list to put together is a morning checklist. I love this because usually the morning is sort of panicky, and having a list, things you could check off, just eases your mind to make sure you don't miss anything. Think about all the things that you want to take care of on race morning and check them off as you do them so you don't forget anything. Writing things down is going to be really helpful in relieving anxiety and also ensuring that everything goes the way you want it to go, the best it possibly can. So number two is to break the course into chunks. Counting off 26 miles can seem really overwhelming and daunting. It's much more manageable if you break it into segments of 10 or maybe even only 5 runnable segments. There's many different ways you could do this. I suggest maybe looking at the course map and deciding that. I know in Chicago, I believe you cross the river 5 times. So a lot of people count every time they cross a bridge as a segment that they look at. My personal approach when I've run Chicago is I treat it by direction. So I know when you start the race, you head north. So once I get to my north turnaround, I check that off my list. I say, I'm done with my north. I'm running back downtown. Next, you run west. Once I start coming the west turnaround and start coming east again, I tell myself, okay, I'm done with the north. I'm done with the west. I'm coming back downtown. I head south. I'm done with my South portion, checked it off my list, heading towards the finish line. That's the way I do it. You can split up all different sorts of ways. The main thing is think about how you're going to split up your course in advance so it's more digestible. So my next item on my list is remembering your why. Why are you running the marathon? It's a big undertaking. You've dedicated a huge portion of your summer to train for this race. Some of you are training for a charity. Some of you train for a PR. Some of you are maybe trying to prove something to an ex. But remember that and revisit that. So when you're at a point where you're struggling, think back to, oh yeah, this is why I'm here. This is my day. This is my opportunity. It may be rough right now, but this is my purpose. This is why I'm here. And I'm going to push through because today's my day. Always think about why you're there, why you're running. Number four is use mantras. Now, I've been running for about 18 years. I never really bought into it until this year, actually. It was the first time I started using mantras, and I found them really, really handy. And mantras are just phrases or words that you can repeat. For myself, I came up with, I'm well-trained, I'm strong, and I'm going to get to the end. And those were the things I chose. They were important to me. You could choose whatever you want. I've heard things like, my feet are light, I'm comfortably relaxed. Find some words or phrases that are important to you and use those. You could use them during your race when you're in a rough patch and you need to get distracted. But the other thing that I was using that mantra for that I found is usually the night before a race, you lay in bed and your mind goes in circles about everything about the race. What I did is I laid in bed and I went through those mantras over and over again. And I found myself falling asleep. So that's another way to use mantras. If you haven't used them before, you might want to try and give them a try, or at least have them in your back pocket in case you need them. So we're halfway through our mental strategies. At number five, I have avoid the dark place. So the dark place is a void I refer to when you get sucked into a negative thought cycle. We tend to be very, very hard on ourselves. And when things are not going quite our way, we tend to beat ourselves up over it. And the negative talk tends to feed upon itself. Maybe you haven't been hitting the splits as you had planned. Maybe you're struggling more than you expected. Maybe you're just not feeling that good. Maybe you're just having a rough day. So it's easy to start hyper-focusing on that and just bad talking about yourself, getting despondent, saying, if I feel this way now, it's going to ruin my whole race. I trained all summer for this. Why is this happening to me? And you can get deeper and deeper and deeper into this dark place. What you need to do is, as soon as some negative self-talk pops in your head, you need to recognize it and yank yourself out and avoid yourself from spiraling deep into that dark space. Now, there's many different ways to do this. One technique that I have used was I told myself at the beginning of the race that anytime I started to feel bad, anytime I was doing any negative self-talk, I would look up and put a big, stupid grin on my face. It didn't necessarily have to be sincere. It was just a trigger. It was a way to acknowledge that I'm about to go into that dark place and I don't want to go there. By putting this big, stupid grin on my face, I was triggering myself to pull myself out from going into that dark space. During race day, there's all sorts of things you could do to keep from getting out of that dark space. One is to jump to the mantras that we just spoke about. That's a great way to switch your mind from negative thoughts to some positive reinforcement. You can look up into the crowd and enjoy the energy of the cheering, or enjoy the signs, or look for little kids. The most important thing is to recognize that you're going towards the dark place and you need to keep yourself out of it. So I feel I've been talking some gloom and doom. So let's talk about some fun things we could do to spice up our runs and help us get through our race. So number six on my list is dedicate each mile. And the object here is to come up with a list of people who inspire you, maybe people who play a significant role in your life. It could be a mentor, it could be a teacher, it could be a doctor, it could be a celebrity, maybe the they have a personal story of struggle that inspires you. So during the race, what you'll do is you could dedicate a mile to each person on your list. It will honor the people that you hold in high regard and also add purpose to your mileage as well. It's a really great way to pay tribute to the people in your life. It's also a really great way to use that recall of those people in your life to help push you through some tough miles. So number 7 is another way to have some fun and add some spice to your run, and that is by playing memory games. One example of a memory game is there's 26 miles in a marathon. At each mile, introduce yourself to a fellow runner and remember their name. So as you go through the race, you should be collecting 26 names. So at the finish line, you should be able to pull up 26 names of runners you met on the course. Maybe you'll remember the state they're from or some other quirky detail about them. It's a little Arya Stark-ish if you want to return to Game of Thrones, where you're reciting names over and over again. But it's a good way to keep your mind active during the run. And it's also a fun way to interact with runners from all over the world that you'll be running with. Of course, this is just one example. There's all sorts of memory games you could participate in. But think of it as a possible option to help get you through those miles. Number 8, go fishing. When you're running, pick out a runner that may be slightly ahead of you and cast an imaginary fishing rod, hook them, and slowly reel yourself in towards them to pull yourself forward. So as you reel in, you're pulling yourself closer and closer to the person that you hooked. Once you catch them, cast the rod again, slowly reel yourself in. So it's cast, reel, and repeat. So that's number 8. So number 9 on my list is put miles in context. And this is about visualization. So when you're in a big race, it's easy to get overwhelmed. You could think to yourself, oh, I've got 5 more miles to the south turnaround, or I have 4 more miles to the finish. How am I ever going to get there? It seems like forever. So let me give you an example about putting miles in context. Let's take the example that you have 4 miles from the finish line, and it seems really daunting. Your legs are tired, and you just start questioning how you're going to get there. So towards the end of a marathon, 4 miles could seem like an awfully long distance. But when you think about it, chances are during the summer, there's probably a 4-mile route in your neighborhood that you've ran countless times. And the idea is to take yourself out of the race and visualize yourself not doing those 4 miles in a marathon, but doing those 4 miles around your neighborhood, running by the church, getting scared again by that stupid neighbor dog that you know was there but you always forget about, running past that shop that you've told yourself all summer that you're going to stop in sometime. By visualizing yourself in a familiar surroundings makes you realize it's not anywhere as daunting as you initially perceived. So when you're feeling lost or overwhelmed in a marathon, consider pulling yourself off that road and into a visualization of a route that you're really familiar with and one you enjoy. Whew. It's been exhausting, so I'm going to go ahead and use my number 10 mental strategy right now, which is dig deep. Hey, look, running a marathon is hard. That's just the way it is. To quote Tom Hanks from League of Their Own, it's the hard that makes it great. Sometimes you just have to dig in and grind it out. But remind yourself that this is what you've been working for, and this is the time to give it whatever you have. Next weekend, you won't have a 5 a.m. alarm clock waking you up. You'll be able to sleep in. So don't pass on this opportunity to push past a little bit of pain and get the job done. You are capable of a whole lot more than you realize. For a lot of you, at the start of the season, you probably looked at your schedule and thought to yourself, how am I going to do 12 miles? How am I going to do 16 miles? How am I going to do 20 miles? When times are tough, think back to those training sessions that you overcame, those speed workouts where you didn't think you could do that extra interval. That 16 miler that was so hot and so humid, it took everything out of you to finish. Look at all the struggles you've overcome. They didn't break you. You pushed through them. And this is your final test. So things may hurt in the moment, but they're going to feel so good when you have that medal around your neck. Don't be afraid to dig deep. You'll be surprised to learn just how strong you actually are. And there you have it, 20 race day strategies, 10 on course and 10 mental strategies. I know that was a whole lot of Coach Michael to sit through, but hopefully you've learned something and you've taken away some ideas and some strategies to help you with your race. Make sure you allow yourself to enjoy the experience and have fun. You worked really hard. This is your day and you've earned it. Thank you for listening to the Chicago Endurance Sports Podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a single episode.
Yay, running!